Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a football and victory Friday here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio, fresh off the trip to West Lafayette last night. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory and new inventory. Great service department, great sales staff, all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And of course, we all know SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars and satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have many awesome technicians ready to serve you, they need more due to the busy business that a 107-year-old dealership has earned. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person. Apply online at sunburymotors.com, or you can call Todd at 570-286-7746. And of course, every Friday show brought to you by our friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Reagan Street, first of all, is fully back open again, so now you got no excuse to get over there. And you got to stock up for the weekend anyway, because it's the opening weekend, the actual opening weekend now of college football, with a lot of the bigger matchups taking place this week. High school football tonight as well. Week two across the valley. Labor Day weekend, you get the extra. Some people might be off today. You'll have off on Monday. You got a lot going on this weekend, so you want to stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. And also, six great flavors of slushies, which will again come in handy this weekend. Still going to be a little on the warm side. Nicer today, but the humidity picks back up through the weekend, so you'll want to be prepared for that. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Obviously, we'll get into the game in a second. Steve standing by as well. But today on the show, we got Mark Wogenrich of SI.com joining us at 4:06 to get his take on the game last night. And then Jody McDonald, WIP and WFAN in Philly and New York, joining us at 3:35 today to talk some Eagles and probably get a little Phillies talk with him too. And the King is back with us to do our picks for the first full weekend of college football at the end of the show today, as always. We got a lot of good games to pick too. So we got a lot going on today. So let's get into the game. Of course, once Steve steps up, we'll get his take as well, because there's some gaps that I want to see if he can fill for me a little bit. But first, let's start with the quarterback and Sean Clifford. He showed last night why he's the quarterback of this team still, because of that drive he put on to win the game. That drive was clinical. 6 of 7, 70-something yards on that final drive, plus the touchdown. 5 touchdown passes total last night, over 300 yards passing, or close to it. 282, sorry, to be exact. 20 of 37. And he just lit it up when he had to in the final minute. Of course, the interception he threw to give Purdue the lead in the fourth quarter, it was bad. There's no getting around it. He didn't look like he didn't really set his feet, or it just totally sailed on him trying to go down the middle. So that was bad. He had some other bad decisions in the game. There's no question about it. But I don't know if Drew Aller, a true freshman in that kind of environment on the road to start, even though he had a pretty decent series when he was in there for Clifford, I don't know if he does that. He might. He might have. We don't know that for sure. We'll never know that. But Sean Clifford, the way he just got in that crazy rhythm to end in that game-winning drive after all that had gone on in the game, I mean, just shows you the kind of poise he has when Penn State needs him the most. He's had his downs. There's no question about it. Decision-making, bad turnovers, injuries, I get it. And I think Drew Aller is going to be a good quarterback for the future for Penn State. Because he did pretty decent when he was in there. In fact, that drive really should have been extended if Tyler Warren makes that catch down the middle. And there were several bad drops last night that affected both Clifford and Drew Aller. And hopefully, as James Franklin mentioned postgame last night, when you have a team like Ohio coming in next week, hopefully Penn State can take care of business, get the ones out, get the twos in, get a guy like Drew Aller some more playing time and more exposure. But I thought, stepping in the way he had to last night, I thought he looked pretty good. He missed a couple throws. He could have ran on third down for a first down. But those are things that happen with it when you have a true freshman in there or any young quarterback in there. Those things are going to happen, especially against a good defense, against a conference opponent on the road. But I thought he handled the moment well. And that was the big test, number one, for me, and I guess, and for everybody else. But Sean Clifford should be and is the quarterback of this team for this season. And he proved it in that final drive. That was, like Joel Klatt said on the Fox broadcast last night, that is one of the best led drives I've seen in college football. I mean, it was just clinical, the amount of rhythm he got into. Very similar to the end of the first half, too. I thought was brilliant. And I'm a Drew Aller fan. I can't wait to see him play, too. But as long as Penn State's in contention, Sean Clifford's the quarterback. Yeah.
So I go to turn this on, and it's making a noise. I don't think I've ever heard it before. So there are ways to correct it, and I use the old American method. I unplugged it and plugged it back in.
Oh, I thought you hit it on the. I thought you hit it on the side.
No, that's if it's made out of Russian parts, then you hit it on the side because all it understands is force. Right. So I did it the old American way. I unplugged it and plugged it back in.
There you go. Calm, cool, and collected, just like Mr. Clifford last night. What a game.
Look, yeah, I mean, look, he made a big mistake. There's no getting around it, okay? I mean, it was not a good throw. Okay. But, geez, he made a whole bunch of really good throws in that game. You get the leg bent backwards. That's always a pretty look for a quarterback, you know? I think he needed an IV.
Yeah, that's what James said afterwards.
Yeah.
Both times that Aller was warming up, coming out of halftime, and also the other time after he threw the pick when Aller was warming up again, he said it came back.
Yeah. So, but hey, look. And Drew, by the way, played well. I mean, It was one series, but Drew looked poised, confident. You know, he made four throws. Three were excellent. One was not. And he took off on the one play on the run. But that goes back to the point I had made over and over. He's not a scrambler, but Drew actually runs better than people think. And that it showed on that play. So Drew did a nice job. If you're a Penn State fan, you got to feel good about where that position is after watching him play last night. Right? But there's also a reason why when it's crunch time and you're on the road, Sean Clifford's running the show. I mean, he accounted for all five touchdowns last night. He threw four touchdown passes and he ran for another. He's more like pushed. But
got to say, I didn't see that one coming.
No, it's not like
I've
never
seen it. It was well executed,
though. It really was. It's not like I've never seen it, because I've seen it. Okay. I laugh because it was a Fox game and Reggie Bush. He pushed Matt Leinart into the end zone at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I still have nightmares about that game. Yes.
When that play back then was not legal. Now it's legal. This is what I refer to as overreaction weekend. We only have one game to talk about for each school. Okay? So let's take an example, the non-Penn State example. Say Ohio State does to Notre Dame tomorrow what we're guessing they're going to do. It's a pure guess, right? You're going to have some people say, oh, boy, I'll tell you, Marcus Freeman, he is in over his skis, man. Like, it's a game. Okay. That is a great game for a coach to evaluate last night. You want to know why? Several reasons. One, you're evaluating from a position of victory. Number two, you had a lot of positives in that game that you can emphasize with your players and build upon and create more confidence. And finally, they made enough mistakes in that game where you can now emphasize your corrections with conviction. Right? And that is the viewpoint from the guy who doesn't overreact.
Oh, my almighty!
You hate I don't overreact.
It is admirable sometimes.
The College Football Playoff Board, by the way, has agreed to a 12-team field, and they want to implement it as soon as possible. The Board of Managers today voted to expand it to 12 teams with an aim to implement the larger format, quote, as soon as possible. Now, what that means, I don't know, but they think they can do it as soon as 2024. They think a 12-team playoff has a value of $1.2 billion per year, which doubles the current number. That just came across, by the way. That's why I slipped it in there. And I heard you've already created a quarterback controversy. Is that true?
No, I'm trying to end it. If you look at that game, and what? And
there's nothing to end.
And any calls.
There's nothing to end.
Yes, you and I rationally think that, but I'm talking about my message is for the irrational people that still look at that game last night and still think Drew Allen should be quarterback of this team. He is not putting together that kind of drive you saw from Clifford at the end of the game. I'm sorry.
Look, I want to give Drew Aller credit, though. Drew Aller, I thought, played with poise.
Oh, yeah, he did. I give him a lot of credit.
He threw four balls, and three of the four were really excellent throws. One was dropped. The other one was a bad throw.
Too.
He threw it behind him. Right. Tyler should have caught it. Man, he'll be the first to tell you. That's part of the corrections part of it. Okay? But it's a first game. I'll give you an example. In a first game, let's take something benign. Zaki Wheatley. Zaki Wheatley did not play a lot last year. I mean, like, extensive, big chunks of playing time, right? So last night he makes the great play, stripping the ball of Sheffield. Joey Porter Jr., who was outstanding.
Oh, he's the real deal, let me tell you.
Makes the fumble recovery because Zaki forced the play. On the last Purdue touchdown to Jones, Zaki's not exactly in the right spot. Okay? All right? But he's going to benefit from that. Now he's got a taste of the speed of the game on the road. And he's going to grow because he did some good things. And he did some things that need to be corrected. That's just one guy. Okay? O'Connell, now, here's the other part. Look at the job Manny Diaz did. Because it's the first time he's coaching with that personnel. It's one thing to practice with that personnel, right? You're practicing with them. It's one thing to do that. It is another thing, for example, to practice with them, but then get into a game and see how they're reacting in game conditions against somebody else who's been game playing against you. How do you adjust? The last five drives of the game for Purdue were 3 3-and-outs, a 5-and-out, and a 6-and-out. At a point where Penn State's defense could allow no more points, they didn't. Think about that. He tightened up all those windows. Aiden O'Connell for the season last year, for the season, was a 72% passer. He had 50% last night. Now, do they need to generate a little bit of more pass rush? No doubt with four. If you can generate your pass rush with 3 and 4, wow. They need to do more there, no question. He dialed up a couple of blitz packages. The Johnny Dixon blitz was terrific. You know? So, there's a lot here that you can draw from, and I give him credit because that's the first time in practical application he coached with his unit and saw what was going right and not going right in the game, and then he got them to better spots. And then Purdue, the last five series ran a total of 20 plays. That's it.
I thought both game plans, both sides of the ball, especially offensively, were brilliant.
I thought Mike coached a really good game. Yurcich?
Yes, I thought the play calling was excellent last night. 4th and 2 on the one touchdown drive, that was a brilliant play call. The rollout for the first down, brilliant.
Yeah. Well, that's Purdue ran the same play with the wide receiver in the backfield with Tracy. Then Penn State came back and they ran it with Devin, and that, and Devin's really good at that. I mean, when he came into the game, number one, as you could tell, Jack and I both thought right away James was going for it because we had talked to James. We kind of knew what his thought process was going to be.
And that was the right decision.
Right. I'm sending you, by the way, the the Learfield box, their new Learfield box, okay?
Oh, thank you.
That way you've got it. Because they changed up their highlight system.
Ah, that explains a lot. Okay, perfect.
You should be getting it right now.
Thank you.
Yep. Anything to help you out?
We still got some
things. What's the suit got tonight?
They're at Mifflin County tonight.
Besides dinner at Penn's Tavern?
I don't know about tonight. I just know they're going out to Mifflin County. I've only been out there one time. Yeah, at least the chief is.
So they play at Mitchell Field, I believe. A friend of mine years ago was doing a game at Mitchell Field. It's like 1979. And guy walks up to him and he whispers to him, "You're off the air." "What?" "You're off the air." He goes, "We're off the air?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Then why are you whispering?" All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Amports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar. Live by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. It's Labor Day weekend. Stock up now. One of the best in the business. Anybody wants to model their career after him, you made a smart choice. Jody McDonald. Jody Mac, my bud. How you doing?
Good, but now I'm hungry after listening to you profess all the goodies they got at your sponsor's place. It's only 20 to 4. I need dinner now.
All right, go for it, man. Well, we'll ship it down to you. It'll be good. You'll love it. Oh, here we are. It's a fun season because now we got games. So let's talk about the Eagles, first of all, because obviously you're tuned into what's going on there. Let's start on basic construction of this team. How do you like the job Howie Roseman did pro and con in the offseason and of late to get them ready for the season?
Don't know if I can go A+, and an A might be a little high, but I'd go no lower than A-. I think Howie's done an outstanding job from the time the season ended last year to leading up to the draft and free agent signings. And I think he's done a real nice job here the last couple of days, playing the waiver wire game, getting guys through, back onto the practice squad, picking guys off others' rosters. Trey Sermon, a guy I know well because you watched him at Ohio State against your Knicks. And he's a pretty darn effective college back who I think didn't get a chance last year in San Francisco. So be able to get him off the waiver wire, I think, was a real nice addition. I think Howie's done a hell of a job this offseason with the Eagles.
And then, you know, we talked about the acquisition, obviously, from New Orleans, which I thought was a big one. But then the Jalen Reagor part, I almost felt like getting somebody for him, okay, fine, but I thought it was addition by subtraction, but that's only me. What did you think?
Same thing. I said on our Birds 365 YouTube show, I do it, John McMullen every day, I didn't think anybody was going to give anything for Jalen Reagor. I thought that I certainly know that they waited because people believed the Eagles might actually cut him. So if Minnesota or anybody else was interested, they get him and not have to give up anything. To, again, Howie's credit, he played the game right. He held on to him. He still wanted to move him. He was able to ferret out a couple of draft picks for him. I didn't even think the Eagles were going to get that. So there's two ways you look at it. If you're an Eagle detractor, you go, this guy was a mid-first-round pick, and 2 years later, you only get 2 late-day draft picks for him. if you're an Eagles fan, you go, hey, admit your mistakes, move on from them, get back what you can. That's exactly what Howie did. So it comes down to whether you're a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of guy.
But I think you made a really great point there subtly, and I know you did it deliberately, but because there are a lot of GMs, they'll draft a guy rounds one through three, especially round one, and they can't admit defeat. They can't admit that it didn't go right. And they keep the guy because there's, for whatever reason, the guy's got to play his way out of the league. And I give Howie credit for cutting bait.
Yep. With both Rager and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside,
yeah.
Which is
yep.
a minimalist deal. They ended up getting Ugo Amadi, who they turned around and flipped for a one-round move up in the draft. They got something out of it. Seattle got nothing. They just cut J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Right.
So that was
yeah.
another one where Howie had to admit, all right, this guy surely wasn't worth the second-round pick. Cut your losses. Get what you can. He did just that with the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside trade.
So what do you think Jalen Hurts is with all this? What do you think the progress has been made?
I'm a Hurts guy. I'm one of the few, the proud, who actually liked when they drafted Jalen Hurts because I thought I understood it, that they were just drafting him for an inexpensive backup position. I thought Carson Wentz was going to be the Eagles quarterback for years to come, but they yep. had a safety net. They had to use the safety net, and Jalen's been okay. I'm a fan. I think we'll see improvement this year. Is he going to jump into the top 10 quarterbacks in the league? He's got the weapons that's at least possible. I wouldn't bet on it, but we shall see. He needs to get into the top half of the league quarterbacks. If he does, the Eagles are going to sign him to an extension and make him a very rich young man.
So we know what they did with Devontae Smith, and I think I thought that was a heck of a draft. When you see them acquire Brown and then see it in practical application, at least preseason-wise, what can that do not just for Hurts, but how Philadelphia wants to play?
It's probably the most intriguing thing to start the season because my partner Johnny Mack goes down to attends every single league of practice, watch everything. And for the first couple of weeks of camp, it was throw it to Brown and then throw it to somebody else. And then throw it to Brown again and then throw it to somebody else. And then throw it to Brown. And Jalen and Brown were getting their timing and their ability to work together up to speed. I think they've got other weapons. I think Goddard's going to be a top five tight end. I, like you, love Devontae Smith and expect him to improve in his second season. So they've got the weapons, and now it's just going to come down to calling the right plays and Jalen executing them to get everybody to eat a little bit. And if they do, the Eagle offense is going to be pretty darn prolific.
You got enough running game?
Yes. A running game like they had last year, probably not, because I just don't think they're going to run the ball as much as they did. And I think they'd prefer if Hurts ran it a little less than he did, too. I hope they don't just tell him don't ever take off, because that's a legit weapon that the Eagles have, but not many this side of Lamar Jackson. He might be the second-best running quarterback in the league. I don't want to see that completely go away, but I think they'd like to see less of it this year. So it'll be very interesting to see how the balance works with what's called, how Jalen handles in the huddle. When the first two options aren't there, does he just immediately take off, or does he try and get to his third read? It'll be very interesting to see the way it plays the first two, 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about that because you adapt over time. And I'll tell you an area, Jody, I've adapted, and when Jack and Ham and I do games, is that it's not just the balance of, hey, we ran it 50 times, we threw it 50 times, or we got 250 rushing and 250 passing. To me, balance is doing it well enough in the first half where there's the threat of doing it. And see, Jalen Hurts just being there, it's the threat of it. He doesn't have to do it. He just has to do it once in a while, so there's a threat. What do you think of that kind of intriguing, brilliant analysis?
No, I think it's right on point. That's kind of what I was trying to say. Maybe I didn't say it well enough. I don't want to disappear. I just want to see it cut back a little bit. I think that, and I know the Eagles as an organization, if they didn't believe that, they wouldn't give A.J. Brown a $100 million contract. So they want to throw the ball more, but you don't want to take what is a legitimate weapon out of your offense as part of it. So I hope they continue to give Jalen the ability to run, so you're right. It's not only there as an actuality, it's there as a threat as well to keep defenses playing you honest So then that way, when you hand it off to Miles Sanders and he gets a great block, before you know it, a 2-yard run becomes a 14-yard gain. If they can strike the balance that they want, this Eagle offense could be scary.
How intrigued are you by Jordan Davis?
Rather. And it's going to be so tough for those of us who don't break down game film thereafter, and you have to be able to take the word of the coaches of what they're saying, and or if you do have access to game film, because he's going to do a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet. He's going to get double teams. So if he's getting double teamed and someone comes off the edge and gets a sack, it's only going to go down as a sack in Brandon Graham's column. But there's a good chance that what Davis did on the play helped get him the ability to get that sack. I think he's a man child. I got to one Eagle practice this year, did one show for WIP from the practice with Joe DeCamera, and sure enough, we got Jordan Davis on as a guest. Nice kid, fun kid, smart kid, very motivated kid. So all signs point for him to be able to jump in and contribute right off the bat, and I think he will be an Eagle favorite, even though it's not necessarily going to show up on the stat sheet week in and week out.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting. But I guess he's lost a little bit of weight, and you know, it's all a relative term, I guess. But I mean, I guess he understood that stamina was going to be an issue for him because of college, and I give him credit for at least taking that to heart.
And good on him. And I've never seen him outside of his. I saw him outside of his uniform the other day when I saw him at practice. But I'd never done that at Georgia, so I couldn't tell if he's lost some weight. Damn, he must have been big because he was still pretty damn big sitting next to me in our broadcast tent. So it's good for him. They're not going to overuse him. They're going to bring him along slowly.
Yeah.
If you take a kid in the middle of the first round on a defensive line, you expect them to step in and play a ton of snaps for you in that year one. They're not. They've got two good defensive tackles, and they're going to be playing hybrid defenses and different numbers across the line. He's going to play maybe 50% of the snaps. That's all they're going to ask him to do in year one. So if it's a process of him building up the stamina to be a more used defensive lineman down the line, I'm perfectly fine with that, and I think the Eagles are too.
Great point, Jody. That's a great point about his usage. I think that's so important. It's now a 17-game schedule. You and I both know the league wants to go to 18. How long did last season feel to you, and what does that do, in your opinion, to the attrition rate as to the team you have today versus the team you might have Thanksgiving Day?
Wow, that's a good point. That's management. And we'll see if that's something that the Eagles' overall process of preseason pays a dividend for down the end. Because as a guy who talks about them day in and day out, 5 days a week, six and seven if you count weekends at WIP, they did less than almost every other team in the league. They have shorter practices. They have lesser practices. They did less hitting. They used their key players less in the preseason games. They take those joint practices, the three that they had, one got canceled, more seriously than maybe anything else they do all preseason. And they do it in the name of staying healthy and not getting guys hurt and getting to the starting line with almost all of your best players. Andre Dillard got hurt yesterday in practice, but he's not a star. He's a backup guy. So they've got a nick and a bruise here, but they might be as healthy as anyone else in the National Football League. And maybe, just maybe down the road, you have an advantage of, yeah, we also didn't kill him in preseason. So in week 14, which is actually week 16, game 14 of week 16, maybe you do have a little bit more left in the tank. We'll see. Last year, they did the same thing. They got off to a slow start. You win and lose games more on talent and the quarterbacks you're playing than you do how much work you did or didn't put in the preseason. But it looked like the Eagles went a little soft on the players in the beginning of the year. This year it better be the opposite, because the early season schedule is very manageable, so the Eagles need to get off to a fast start this year.
I always laugh. You know, I don't want anybody hurt, but I always laugh when they get to that week 14 game, week 13 game, and it's the game of the week, and you're like, who are these two quarterbacks? Who are these people?
Well, luckily the Eagles, I think most, surely all Eagle fans know exactly who their backup quarterback is, but some others around the league might not have known. And yeah, the Eagles had a couple of guys on their schedule last year. Teams were down to their second and or third string quarterback, and they did what they had to do, win those games against lesser QBs.
You are the best, my man. Thank you so much, Jody. We always appreciate any chance we get to talk with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good win by the Knicks last night. Have a great season, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Jody. Jody Mack, Jody McDonald, joining us. WIP Philadelphia, one of the best in the business. We have Mark Wogenrich in the next half hour.
Yes,
check
sir.
Check in with him. Then the King final half hour. Matt's already anointed several people as the new quarterback at Penn State. It's the only part I caught.
No, I'm actually reversed this time.
Where did you come up with that idea?
Maybe a pretty good final drive last night.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe 5 touchdowns total.
Helped.
Yeah.
You know, look, the interception is a bad throw. All right.
It is.
I mean, look, it just is.
It was awful.
It is. I mean, it is. Right? And then look at a bunch of really good throws that he made to win the game. Okay. You know, the throw to Tinsley was a terrific throw. You know, once he made the throw to Tinsley, they got the ball to, the 28, 29, right around there.
Yep.
Now it changes the dynamics of the game. Because what was 6:33 to go? I think I said with 6:33 to go. See, again, this comes down to when you cross sports like I do, you can now take one and mix it with the other, right? I said at that point, Penn State at minimum will get 2 of the last 3 possessions in the game. I said that with 6:33 left. Because you're thinking that. It's a possession game. Penn State's going to get 2 of the last 3 possessions, probably. Well, it paid off. That second possession was the touchdown. And, you know, and then obviously, when they get the ball at the 20, I said they're 80 yards from winning. I think I just said that to say it. But
it really was the case.
It sounds so profound in retrospect, doesn't it? All right. Wow, he's really on it. Oh, yeah. I just said it in. People, you say stuff in the moment. You're like, okay, here we go. You know? And then if it works, you're like, you know, I said it.
Just like the Chief last week.
Oh, well, he's got a lot to make up for in that booth. All right, so...
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
I mean, the suit was rooting for Curacao in the Little League World Series. I worry. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by, as Jody Mack said, wow, that sounds good, Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
James, what happened to Sean that he had to leave the field? And secondly, did you consider replacing him after the interception because we saw Drew warming up?
Yeah, so he cramped up. Had to go in and get an IV, then came back, and then started to cramp up again. Wasn't sure if he was going to be able to go, so we got going again, and then he was able obviously to get in there and play. I thought Drew did some nice things when he was in. Hopefully, we get him some time next week as well. But at the end of the day, I thought that experience there, especially that last drive, really mattered and helped us.
Yeah, about right. I don't think there's anything to... That's a rather matter-of-fact answer to a really good question. Because we knew, I mean, when Drew was warming up the second time, we knew Sean was cramping up again. So, it's... that wasn't a question of, well, I threw it in or something. It's like, just slow down, you know. If you're going to play a game with a quarterback that in, all of a sudden you're going to give him that kind of short leash, that doesn't work. And yeah, because we knew he was cramping up. Because we had mentioned, I saw Andy Muttenham go back to the locker room twice. And you knew at that point that's probably what they were checking on. And you know what's odd? He did not cramp up during the preseason at all. Just turned out. You know, and I'm sitting up in the booth, for goodness sakes. I didn't find it to be overly warm, but it was humid. I mean, but just one of those things. They won it. You get to make corrections from wins. That's a good position to be in, because now you can point out the positives and build on it, and you can then take the stuff that didn't work and you can work at correcting it.